Hello and welcome to Digital Health Forward. I'm your host, Dandy Zhu, and today I had a chance to chat with Dan Kennedy, who leads strategy and corporate development at Kairos. Kairos is an industry leader in the patient access space and provides search, scheduling, and data management solutions to over 300,000 providers across over 65 health systems. In Dan's current role at Kairos, he oversees capital raising and allocation, as well as Kairos' strategic partnership ecosystem. Prior to Kairos, Dan spent his career in various roles across the healthcare industry. He worked at Athena Health, was a founding member of the corporate development team at Evolent Health, and started his career in healthcare investment banking. Dan holds an MBA from the healthcare management program at Wharton Business School and an undergraduate degree from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Hey, Dandy. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. I'm very glad we got a chance to finally connect.
Absolutely. I appreciate you making some time for me today.
Yeah, you too. It's great to have you on the show. So to start, we'd love to hear a little bit more about your personal story. Tell us about your background, how you got started in healthcare, and how you got to where you are today.
I'll give you a few minutes on the background here. So, I grew up in Maryland, was allured by the warmer weather of the South. So went down to North Carolina for undergrad, where I studied both business and history. As kind of any good business major at the time, I was shoehorned into either banking or consulting. And I opted for kind of nights in the office rather than Monday mornings at the airport. So I joined SunTrust Robinson Humphrey in their investment banking group. Spent 2 years there, was a generalist kind of by trade, but was really my first introduction to healthcare. And my interest was definitely piqued. I knew I wanted to go deeper into healthcare. I started looking for something kind of more in the pure play space, at which point I was kind of introduced to Evolent Healthcare, which is based in Arlington, Virginia. So this was 2013. CMS was making pronouncements about transitioning the vast majority of payments to value-based care, and kind of ACOs were already part of the lexicon at that point. So I, looking at Evolent, thought it was a really interesting opportunity, A, to get to work in a startup with people who I thought were super interesting, really smart, passionate, and would make great mentors for me, but really B, position myself to learn and be part of a trend that I thought would change the way healthcare was delivered in value-based care. So I joined in fall of 2013. At that point, Evolent was only 150 to 200 people, which, it's many multiples of that today, but joined to help start the corporate development team. It was an amazing few years. We grew like crazy. We raised our $100 million Series B. We IPO'd the business a few years later, and then started to think about putting those proceeds to work, and eventually bought Valence Health. It was there, ended up being there about 3 years, at which point I decided it would probably make sense to go back to business school. So left Evolent and joined the healthcare management program at Wharton in the fall of 2016. Amazing 2 years there. Amazing classmates, professors, professional and social experiences, but really got introduced to 70 plus classmates in my class, and then another 70 plus in the class above me and below me, who came from kind of all walks of our healthcare industry. So it was really influential in kind of shaping my broader knowledge of healthcare, but was really interesting in the sense that everybody was so passionate about driving change in our healthcare system. So that was really heartening as well. The summer at Wharton, I did some internship work at Athena Health, doing some acquisition integration for them. And then, as any second year in business school, turned my attention to kind of a full-time job search. I started to think about what I wanted. I, worked at small companies, worked at big companies. The smaller company side to me was alluring. They may not have the same market reach or impact, but the ability to move kind of quickly and nimbly was important to me. And I knew I wanted to come in and build out kind of a corporate development and strategy function. So it really turned my eye towards smaller digital health companies based in Boston, because that's where my wife was working on her PhD. And put the lens on it that, hey, I wanted something that I thought was really interesting from a product market fit, but also a place where they were looking for kind of that corporate development and strategy expertise. And that's kind of where Kairos entered. So Kairos, immediately piqued my interest because of the work they were doing to democratize patient access. For me personally, I believe really strongly that a lot of the inequities in our society are really rooted in, among other kind of lasting, terrible historical legacies, the lack of access to kind of basic healthcare and wellness and stability resources. How are you ever supposed to focus on professional growth if you're focusing where you're going to sleep that night? Or how are you supposed to eat healthy if you don't have a kitchen or a fridge to store your meds? But in the case of Kairos, I was really drawn to the idea that if you can democratize access, you can remove a major inhibitor to people getting baseline care that so many Americans unfortunately don't get today. So that message was really, it resonated with me. It was compelling, and took the leap over to Kairos in the summer of 2018 and have been splitting my time in kind of what I describe as a hybrid corporate and business development role ever since. So, you know, what that means is I spend about half my time in what I would describe as traditional corporate development. So fundraising for our Series D this past year, potential M&A, other forms of capital raise, whether that be debt. And then the other half of my time really on a hybrid strategy business development type role. And in that role, kind of wear the hat of being the steward of our partner ecosystem and working closely with our products team to drive kind of our buy, build, partner decision-making process. So I've been at Kairos about 2.5 years, been a really interesting ride. Happy to talk to you a little bit more about that ride, about what we do, and we're really uniquely positioned to make an impact in healthcare.
Yeah, I'd love to dig a little bit more into the problems that Kairos is specifically looking to solve in the healthcare system. And just from reading a little bit about the patient access paradox that a lot of the Kairos leadership talks about, would love to hear your perspective on what you've seen as the impact Kairos has had on that and sort of help us understand the problems that you guys are hoping to address.
Of course. Yeah, that's a great question. And fundamentally at Kairos, we believe that supply and demand mismatch undergirds a lot of the issues that plague our healthcare system. So specifically, when we refer to the patient access paradox, we're talking about the notion that, you know, inaccurate provider data on the provider side and inaccessibility of this data on the patient side, that manifests itself in unnecessarily long wait times for appointments that quite candidly don't end up being with the right provider a lot of the time. So that's really what we're trying to solve. We're trying to take the friction out of the patient access experience so that patients can see a doctor that's appropriate for them in both a timely and a clinically appropriate fashion.
And why is it that these providers have such inaccurate data in their systems?
It really gets to kind of the core of how we built the business and what we're trying to do. And, you know, I can go into a little more detail for you on our provider match platform. But, you know, I think most fundamental level, inaccurate provider data management really imperils a lot of these processes. Data is siloed across organizations, so it may live within different functional areas. You also have large healthcare organizations that are quite acquisitive. So when one healthcare system either buys a group of providers, buys another health system, a lot of times that results, you know, in two sets of credentialing systems, two sets of marketing databases, et cetera, that are tough to reconcile. So it's really hard for these systems to look longitudinally across every single one of their clinical assets in a way that helps solve this issue. And that's where we think we come in at Kairos.
And before Kairos, what were these providers using to try to help manage scheduling and patient access?
You name it. I mean, healthcare, we always joke, you can look at kind of what other industries did 20, 15 years ago, and you'll see where healthcare is going, right? In healthcare, most people still call centers to book their appointments, right? So call center agents are sitting there fielding calls. They have binders of information about their provider networks. They may be booking directly into a practice management system there. What we are trying to do at Kairos is build an enterprise-wide solution that taps into any source underlying truth that a health system might have. So that could be their credentialing system. It could be their finance system, their marketing, their HR, their practice management system, you name it. We go to them and say, hey, what kind of sources of truth do you have? We then aggregate all those. As you can imagine, there's probably some sources of conflict in between them. Doctors may be represented a different way. It might be Dr. Jones. It may just be first initial, last name, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So we built a series of kind of business logic rules that help adjudicate conflicts between those, such that we try to put together a single profile for each schedulable entity at a health system that incorporates all that underlying data. So by schedulable entity, that doesn't have to be just physicians, right? As we see the emergence of alternate sites of care, we're starting to list kind of retail clinics, urgent care. We even have one client who lists their service dogs in our solution.
Wow.
So any
I love that.
Any schedulable entity, we can list there. We then do a few things which we think really differentiate these profiles. One, we clinically augment them. And what I mean by that is we've spent the past 10 years, our clinical team specifically and our chief medical officer, compiling what we call the Kairos Clinical Library. Mm-hmm. And that is a list of kind of 25,000 plus terms their medical terms, their lay words, their synonyms, et cetera. So, you know, an example would be we have diabetes, but we also have the sugars mapped to diabetes because in the South, that's how it's colloquially referred to. So we have this clinical library segmented down to the subspecialty level such that when we're going through an implementation, we can say to a provider, hey, provider X, subspecialists like you typically like to be searchable for these terms, would love your feedback. So really trying to get at matching the patient with the right clinical venue for their care. The second thing we do then is we layer in physician calendars. I think attitudes have started to evolve over the past kind of five-ish plus years here around online scheduling. I think health systems are starting to realize they need to democratize scheduling. They need to meet consumers where they are. And so what we have done is we have built read-write relationships with a lot of the underlying EMR practice management systems. So you can think of your Epics, your Cerners, et cetera, such that we can surface a provider's calendar in real time and we can book into a slot in real time. And we think that's differentiated because while there's a lot of online scheduling providers today, a lot are using what we call block scheduling. So they're blocking off a portion of a provider's calendar, a patient books that slot, the provider then needs to call the practice manager or whoever is responsible for the physician's calendar and confirm that slot. That's why occasionally you'll get an email saying, hey, your appointment wasn't confirmed, even though you thought you'd booked a slot. So we really think that that real-time ability to book and transact with a provider is a really unique differentiator. So that's kind of the back-end master data management platform that we have built to really get at this issue of inaccurate provider data management. We call that Kairos One. And then the question became, all right, so we're investing all of this time, resources, energy into standardizing and augmenting our provider data. How do we make that actionable? And that's why we built the front end of our platform. And the front end of the platform is really centered on a core functionality that we refer to as search, match, and book. So we have three different applications. They're all targeted towards different end users. So a call center, as I alluded to earlier, you know, people still call the call center. There's a white label find a doc for a health system's website, and there's also a point of care solution. But all three leverage that same underlying database. So you're using the same provider data across the entire enterprise. And all three allow a user to search either based on a provider's name, a location, a clinical term. It allows you to match. So you can think about kind of an Amazon-esque experience where you're saying, hey, I'd like to see a provider who speaks Spanish, is within 5 miles of my zip code and accepts Anthem, right? Mm-hmm. And then you can actually book and transact that appointment in real time. So that's the platform in a nutshell.
Yeah, very helpful.
That was a bit of a whirlwind, but I hope that's helpful.
Definitely. Thank you so much for going into all that detail. It really gives us insight into the product and all the work you guys have done in the back end to improve standardization, which I think we all realize is a big issue when it comes to healthcare data. In terms of the outcome that you've seen with and the impact, I guess, on utilization of providers or wait times, you know, what have we been seeing across different health systems? Does that vary by size and other aspects?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, ROI is one of the things that we spend a lot of time thinking about and talking to our clients about. So, you know, we have a client base of over 65 health systems today that spans over 300,000 providers and over 600 hospitals. So we think that, you know, we have a pretty robust database of outcomes and client deliverables to draw upon. And, you know, when we talk about ROI, we tend to segment it between kind of harder ROI and softer ROI. But that's one of the things that excites me most about our platform is that I think we check both of those buckets. So from, you know, from a harder ROI perspective, obviously there's ROI associated with increasing the density of provider schedules, right? Any slot that previously would have gone unfilled is revenue in the provider's pocket. Mm-hmm. And it's also getting a patient in to see that provider faster. We think there's also hard ROI associated with driving operational efficiency. So, you know, we publish a patient access report every year. And, you know, we just published it this week and a few of the stats that really stood out to me, you know, one, 25% of hospital spending is going towards administrative costs. So there's a big nut to crack there. And two, you know, 40 to 50% of people are now going to health system websites as part of their care journey. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we can help stand up a digital property on a health system's website that allows a patient to transact, then that's releasing burden on some other modalities like the call center, and allows the call center then to be more targeted, right, and help with care management and help with gaps in care and things like that. So, you know, from a hard ROI perspective, we certainly talk about those two things. And then, you know, on the less quantifiable ROI perspective, I think one of the things that we're really, really proud of is our ability to drive physician engagement and satisfaction. Mm-hmm. Being able to map providers to the types of care that they actually want to treat and see through our clinical library allows them to practice both at the top of their licensure, but also allows them to, you know, be hopefully a little more clinically fulfilled than seeing, you know, every patient that comes through the door. Right. So we're really proud that we drive physician satisfaction engagement scores up. I think the second thing is, you know, we disseminate this data across the entire enterprise in a way that a health system previously was unable to do. So it gives health system administrators and executives that longitudinal view that allows them to make decisions that they previously probably didn't have the data to make. So thinking about staffing, thinking about network contouring, et cetera. We had an example of one of our clients saw that on Monday mornings, one of their ortho doctors was being searched a ton out in the suburbs because people who played sports on the weekend wanted to come in and they had twisted a knee or twisted an ankle and wanted to come see the ortho doc. Well, all of their ortho docs were based in the urban center rather than out in the community. So they adjusted their staffing model accordingly to capture some of that demand. Mm-hmm. So insights like that we think are super interesting and powerful and help health systems think about how they want to build their business, how they want to contour their provider networks in ways that they previously couldn't. And then, you know, I think the last thing, and it's interesting for me on the back of kind of some of the market trends that we see, is that with continued consolidation in the health system market, we become a really important partner for those consolidating entities. So as I talked about earlier, you know, when you're combining two different health systems, you're combining two different underlying platforms, right? So we have worked a lot with our health system partners in thinking about, hey, how do you create a unified underlying provider data management platform that, again, gives you that longitudinal view and creates that systemness that may be absent in a traditional M&A transaction from a provider perspective. So yeah, I think the hard and the soft ROI is super exciting to us. And I think it's one of the reasons we continue to see great penetration in the market and continue to grow our market share.
Yeah, I can imagine that these real-time insights around scheduling and staffing have been particularly impactful for health systems, given the cost and volume pressures they're facing, especially now during COVID. Shifting gears a little bit, I'd love to hear a little bit more about your role specifically in corporate strategy and a lot of the strategic partnerships you guys have formed over recent years. You know, I read about the recent partnerships with Microsoft and Amwell and Uber Health and other virtual agents. So these seem like a lot of different players from different parts of the healthcare ecosystem. So help us make sense of what the partnership strategy is, how you guys think about who to partner with, and what those partnerships look like.
Yeah, no, it's super exciting to me because this is what I live day to day. So, you know, when I started at Kairos 2.5 years ago now, we very much had a nascent BD function. We made it a priority from kind of day one that I started that we wanted to invest in this side of the business. We saw it as a unique value driver for us going forward. And, you know, that is because we believe that we are really uniquely positioned because of our access to that underlying data to become a really strategic partner to health systems. Obviously, our kind of megalomaniac view of the world is we want to be the search, match, and book everywhere. And our BD strategy is largely predicated on supporting that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think there's a few things working in our favor in that regard. One, you know, health systems seem to realize now that you have to meet patients where they are. So previously, like I said, a lot of patients would call into call centers to schedule their care. Well, more and more now people are searching Google to find care options, or they might be looking for a virtual visit. So we've built out relationships that help our health systems disseminate that investment in provider data and scheduling out through these various channels. So that's been a great tailwind for us. And then two, you know, I think it's no secret that the healthcare industry tends to be a little behind the curve on digital adoption. You know, we're talking about an industry that largely relies on fax machines still. But that said, we've seen adoption of enterprise technologies recently, like CRM, like virtual agents. And as health systems adopt these digital assets, they want to think about how they kind of radiate their underlying investments out through all of these assets. So what we've done is on the back end is built connections to create what we've kind of termed a digital stack of technologies, all of which are integrated, all of which are kind of plug and play together, which radiate that provider data out through each of them. And the goal there is really to take the friction out of contracting for the health system such that they can radiate that provider data out to each of these unique use cases.
Got it. So in a way, you're integrating all of these different solutions and coming together with like a package for the health systems. Is that the right way to think about it?
You know, our channel, we've started to think about different channels, both for health systems and for selling Kairos. Our partnership portfolio tends to take one of two flavors. There tend to be product integrations, and then there tend to be channel integrations. And then there are partners that straddle both camps. So, you know, there are places where we go to market together with some of these integrated technologies. There are other places where we go to market side by side. But, you know, what we've done for each is try to do that back-end work. To build the integration such that it does take that friction out for the health system.
So all of these product integrations and channel integrations are making me think about how Kairos could evolve and expand the product offering to providers. Out of curiosity, do you think Kairos will ever move into other pieces of the revenue cycle?
Yeah, it's like you've been listening to our internal conversations, but we're always looking at the patient journey, right? So the patient is kind of our North Star, and we spend a lot of time mapping out, you know, everything from initially searching for an appointment all the way through the appointment and the post appointment. And we profile kind of capabilities within each of those categories. Obviously, our core competencies today largely reside in kind of that front half of that continuum. So the looking for care, the finding care, the booking that appointment. Mm-hmm. That said, we think there are a ton of really natural adjacencies up and down that care continuum related to kind of scheduling, related to other uses of provider data, whether that be, you know, referrals, discharge, et cetera. So I think that's one of the really interesting things about our platform is these adjacencies, is the ability to potentially capture more wallet share by offering things to health systems in each of these adjacencies. So it's certainly something that we continue to look at. We zoom out even from that and take a macro view and think there are a lot of other kind of segments of the healthcare market that are interesting to us and have potentially really interesting use cases for provider data. So, you know, as you think about different ways to pay for care, if you think about employers, payers, government, et cetera, I think in the longer term roadmap, there's a lot of interesting adjacencies for us there.
That makes a lot of sense. It seems like at this stage, post Series D, this would be a natural question around growth strategy and scaling. Essentially, should Kairos try to expand its current product offerings around patient access, provider data management to other customers and channels, or should resources be focused on developing into these other adjacencies in the mid-cycle or back-end in revenue cycle management? So now, given the COVID-19 pandemic, you know, I'm imagining that patient access has taken on a whole new meaning. You know, health systems are facing unprecedented pressures with influx of urgent needs as they fight COVID and try to continue to provide this ongoing care. So how have you seen the crisis change the way health systems are using tech and Kairos? And how have you guys seen your role perhaps evolve during this time?
We see it every day. It's kind of partners to our health systems, we've seen their thinking somewhat evolve over the past 7 months. But the broader theme is that it's absolutely accelerated digital transformation. When COVID first kind of paralyzed the system in March and April, our health systems were really indexed on treating patients that they had to, right? The COVID patients, mm-hmm. While postponing a lot of other care like elective surgeries. So this led to rapid adoption of things like digital front doors, triage agents, telemed, you know, a lot of that in conjunction with the removal of barriers like reimbursement, physician and patient attitudes, and technological challenges. But what we have seen since then, and fortunately for those things, we had built some partnerships, as you said earlier, kind of digital front door telemed, which positioned us to help our health systems in the interim. But what we've seen since then is our health systems start to realize that, hey, COVID probably isn't going away anytime soon. So we need to create a sustainable business model around both treating COVID patients, but also triaging those other patients who would usually come through our doors. Mm-hmm. So that's been a big focus of our efforts with our health system since then. I think what we've seen is that's driven a huge interest in patient access. They want to think about how they can route and schedule patients in clinically appropriate ways. So we continue to work with our health systems to articulate and execute on those strategies.
And given all the other changes COVID has brought upon us, what are the other trends in digital health you're following most closely and most excited about?
I certainly think the unbundling of care from health systems is one of the bigger trends that we're going to see over the next 10 years. We've seen with the digital acceleration through COVID, this is only accelerating. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously healthcare, probably more so than most other industries, continues to be local. So in-person care is never going to go away, nor should it. But we're beginning to think more about how we meet people where they are. And that's a really interesting trend to me. You know, I think it starts all the way from search, right? So as we've talked about previously, booking an appointment used to be, you know, calling a provider office. Well, now there's so many different channels that you can book an appointment, right? You can go to Google, you can go to a health system's website, you can look at, you know, ZocDoc, WebMD, et cetera. That then extends through kind of initial triage. So you see the proliferation of symptom checkers and digital front doors. It extends then through the delivery of care, right? So we've seen, especially with COVID, the acceleration of telemed adoption. You have async options that were previously unavailable. And then, you know, I think what's really exciting for me then is either in the delivery of care or the follow-up of care, moving that to the home, right? So you're starting to see remote patient monitoring companies come out with medical devices that support that process. You're seeing patient communication modalities that enable it. You have chronic care management companies that are looking at population health, you know, et cetera. There's all sorts of new and interesting models that support moving this care out of a kind of hospital-centric way into more of a, what I would consider a compassionate home-based way. Mm-hmm. And then on the, you know, on the patient access side, obviously I'm excited about things that continue to push the pendulum towards consumer-centric healthcare. So, you know, things like price transparency, both from a regulatory perspective, obviously CMS is starting to do some work mandating that. But then there's a host of startup companies, you know, like a Cedar, that's indexed on helping people understand their bills. That's really interesting to me. And they all seem to be really predicated on aligning economic incentives in the delivery of care. And, you know, that's, if I think back along my own personal journey, that's one of the reasons, you know, I went to Evolent, because I was excited about that. So, you know, it seems like a way to continue that journey and pull that forward.
Yeah, on the first piece around unbundling, it's actually something I've been exploring and thinking about a lot in one of my classes currently at HBS, where we study a lot of the theories of disruption by Clayton Christensen. And one of the theories is really around how technology enables this move from centralized industries, such as healthcare, you know, where we have a very monolithic hospital structure historically, into decentralization. And so things around starting with EHRs, you know, now into remote patient monitoring, other tech has really enabled this unbundling to happen. And now we're seeing all sorts of different clinics, from retail to community health to looking at just women's health or different chronic care. That is definitely an area that I'm really excited about as well. And we'll see how that disrupts the hospital systems.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting area and one that's drawing a ton of obviously funding and entrepreneurial ideas. I think that'll push health systems to, you know, examine their business models, which I don't think is an unhealthy thing.
Yeah, you know, can they adapt as these new entrants come in and start to take volume away, right? Well, looking forward, I'd love to hear a little bit more about what gives you hope and optimism in the healthcare space right now, as you look at everything happening with COVID and sort of the challenges that patients and many people are facing. And then also, if you have any pieces of advice for other young leaders or young professionals who are looking to make an impact in the space, what do you wish you knew at the time?
Why don't I start there? You know, I think healthcare, for as big of a driver as spend as it is, right? Like, we're constantly reminded that it's 20% of GDP. It's actually quite a small industry, right? You continue to run into the same people over and over again. So when I think about advice that I would give people and things that I wish I knew, just the importance of connections in healthcare is paramount. You know, it's obviously useful in terms of staying on top of trends in the industry, but from an entrepreneurial perspective, it's probably even more important in terms of the opportunity to gain knowledge gleaned from others' past experiences, both their successes, their failures, and incorporate those into your own thinking. You know, I think there's a lot of things in healthcare that seem relatively easy, like easy fixes, but then kind of inexplicably end up flopping, you know, either due to feelings about technological adoption across the industry or larger cultural issues around the delivery of care. You know, in fact, I saw there's a great graph I saw on the out-of-pocket healthcare blog a few months ago back where they profiled the six stages of healthcare grief, and they walked through why some relatively straightforward ideas fail in healthcare and how that impacts founders' business plans. And, you know, I bring that up not to suggest that these ideas won't work in the future as technology continues to pervade healthcare, but rather as a suggestion to, like, talk to other people in the industry, figure out why some of these things didn't work. You know, it'll save you time, but more importantly, it'll make your product market fit stronger, being able to build on top of these learnings and incorporate them into your product and company. So, you know, I think these practical realities, they create a little more friction than in other industries. But from my perspective, the risk reward is still largely slanted in the reward for two reasons. One, most fundamentally in healthcare, you're trying to create change, and you're trying to build businesses that meaningfully impact the lives of millions of people across the country. And, you know, I think you can't really put a price on the moral imperative that we have as a society to do that. But, you know, too, I think if you're putting the moral piece over here and looking at it through a financial lens, looking at digital health multiples and exits across the industry right now, I think you'll also find some compelling financial incentives. So I think it's a really great place to build a business in terms of the impact you can have. And so I'm heartened by that. I think your second question was around optimism and what gives me faith moving forward. You know, I think it's the people. You need to look no further than practitioners at the local level, going to work every day, putting themselves in harm's way to treat for those who are in need or more vulnerable than themselves. You know, I think that's inspiring. I think the fact that so many people across our country do that is amazing. And then at a macro level, I'm heartened by the number of people and the quality of people who want to get into healthcare. Mm-hmm. You know, I talk to people every day who are looking for jobs in healthcare because they want to help drive change. And I think deploying some of our kind of best and brightest in a field that's in dire need of innovation and change, I think that portends well for the future of healthcare.
That is a great note to end on. Well, thank you so much, Dan. This has been really interesting. And thank you for sharing your personal story along with so much information about all the great things that Kairos is doing. Thank you for being on the show.
Of course, Dandy. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.